This is Joan Benoit-Samuelson, and you're listening to Trained Body and Mind.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Trained Body and Mind, a podcast exploring the cutting edge of holistic fitness. I'm your host, Jacqueline Beyer. Each episode, I connect with the world's leading experts and athletes to talk about mindset, movement, nutrition, recovery, and sleep, what we like to call the five facets of fitness. Today, for our 100th episode of Trained, I'm talking with a Nike yoga teacher I highly recommend you check out in the NTC app. He's also a CrossFit coach, equestrian, ceramicist, and a firm believer in making meditation a regular part of your wellness routine.
Meditation is like when you really see yourself without mask, without filters, you know, and for me it's been really helpful because it's been a way to really, you know, get over all traumas or get better with my depression, because it was showing me like what needs to work on, what's the underlying problem here. So I think meditation actually brings you closer to your true self.
That's Fabien Domenech, and he's definitely someone who embraces life. He's traveled all over the world, tried his hand at a career in fashion, and today he's doing big things in the fitness space. In our conversation, Fabien does take the mask off, and he gets very real. I can't think of a better way to celebrate Train's 100th episode than with Fabien telling us how tapping into the mind-body connection through yoga and meditation have helped him love and embrace his most authentic self. Let's be honest, I think Instagram can make you love or leave people, but your IG vibe is so good.
Thanks.
You have all the things on there that I personally get very excited about, which is CrossFit, yoga, dogs, plants, tattoos, and then the editor in me, which really appreciates your very tight captions.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not alone in this because there are 53,000 plus people who follow you. I want to get into a couple of your captions because I love your tone of voice on Instagram. It's punchy. You know, sometimes it's really witty, but it almost always provokes thought and action. And I think that's a really hard combo to crack. So I want to take a second to recognize that. And I've actually pulled a few of your quotes for us to unpack a little bit. So are you ready?
Ooh, bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So first one, willingness to show up is an act of bravery. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What would you say the bravest thing you've ever done is?
Oh my God. Being my true self. Removing the mask and just showing who you are to people. I think that's the bravest thing.
How would you describe your truest self?
Oh, I'm still trying to figure out, because we're all constantly changing and evolving. I think we always have to keep discovering who we are on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Who am I today? What's happening? What have changed?
What are some of the things you do that helps you do that?
Meditation, for sure. I think it's a great way to look at yourself in the mirror, see who you are that day and what's happening. Sometimes it's a bit ugly, you know, like the reflection in the mirror. Sometimes it's a beautiful princess. So it just depends on the day.
What's your style of meditation? Do you do a self-guided? Do you use an app?
I do self-guided. So I love to just guide myself. And I do love music. So I use music just to get into that meditative state.
Very cool. All right, next one gets a little deep too. Ooh. All right, like the moon, we all must go through phases of emptiness to be full. So I'd love for you to talk about a time when you were running on empty and then what that taught you.
Today, I want to talk a bit about mental health, something I've never done before in public. Just my closest friends, they know my struggle with mental health and depression. But that's not something I've really disclosed to people in public. So not many people know about it. So I think that quote comes from really like feeling at your lowest, feeling depleted, feeling empty. And then when you really touch rock bottom is when you're able to like come up, you know, and it's like, right, what did that happen? What did that period, you know, of like emptiness taught me?
Thank you for sharing that. I think it's really tough to talk about that in a setting like this too.
It is, but I think it is my duty and responsibility to get my mask off. Again, be my true self. So if I do that, maybe I can inspire other people and like maybe people don't feel so alone. So by listening to someone, just maybe a little bit, I don't want to go into full detail because I'm a bit vulnerable talking about these, but just a little bit. And I think I can help other people as well.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And it's one of the things that I love about this show. We've really evolved to spend a little bit more time in the mental health and mindset space. And I think even just admitting that you struggle is enough to let people know that they're not alone, and you don't have to share the details of that. Because again, we're talking about Instagram, right? We're pulling quotes from Instagram. We're talking about this life that you're showing. And I think that's what people get caught up in, assuming like everything's always that perfect.
It's perfect and you have everything figured out, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah. And I mean, you're traveling the world and you're living this amazing life, and I'm sure there are some really high highs, but you're still human and you experience lows like the rest of us. So thank you for sharing that. Where would you put yourself now on that empty, full spectrum? Like, how are you in this moment?
A bit lower at the moment, to be honest. Like, for the last year, it's been really hard. That's why it's not maybe the best time to go full in and talking about it, because I'm still not feeling 100% myself. And maybe something that we can discuss as well is, like, I think now that I'm 33 years old, I've achieved many goals and I've done many things. And the more I achieve, the more I do, and the more comfortable my life is, the more depressed I am and I feel. So that's something I'm addressing now. And it's like, right, what is it? You know, because happiness, it wasn't at the end of the road. You know, like, I got there and I found that and I achieved that. And it's like, damn, I feel I'm at lowest. So what is it? What's going on?
Yeah, we had Maria Wada on. We had a similar conversation of just almost like achievement syndrome, right? Where there are a lot of people who are very goal oriented. And I think you get in that grind of always wanting the next thing. And then you have to step back and say, well, where does it end? And when do I just appreciate the moment that I'm in? And it's going to be a process, right? Like, as much as anybody who's struggling wants to just snap their fingers and feel better, just acknowledging that it's just a journey that we're all on is important.
Exactly. Love that.
So the next one, this kind of segues us into that, which is change your narrative, change your life. How does that guide you through your day, through your life?
Yeah, well, changing my narrative is really changing all the things that I've been through, you know, since a very early age. You know, I've gone through, like, being an immigrant, you know, like being bullied at school, growing up queer, being in a family that wasn't emotionally available, moving countries several times, not having the money to study, or like, I'm just really changing the narrative for all the things that I've gone through, and they're stuck in my subconscious and in my heart. And it's like, right, how can I go and laugh to the places that I cried before? Just pretty much what I'm trying to do.
You mentioned traveling, moving a lot. The last quote I'll make you think about here is, home is what you take with you, not what you leave behind. So what have you learned that you need to feel at home, whether you're traveling or moving somewhere different?
Just self-love, just loving yourself. Mm-hmm. My first move, you know, the country, was when I was 11, you know, with my family. But then I got into the habit of doing the same, and I did it when I was 21, and then when I was 26, and then when I was 28, you know, like, always moving and going for another country, for another experience, and always looking for that thing, you know, like, where am I going to find myself? And I never did. When I got to a new country, it was like, oh, I feel the same, you know, like, whatever I was looking for, it wasn't here, it wasn't in India, it wasn't in Bali, it wasn't in Italy, you know, all of it. And it's like, I think it's within, you know, it's about filling the void, you know, that I feel just with my own self-love.
So let's talk about all of the traveling that you've done. You know, it's been such a big part of your life, and you've moved at least across 3 continents, right?
Yeah.
So what have you noticed about how different cultures approach fitness differently?
There's a bit of an obsession about, as well, fitness in Europe. You know, maybe people are a bit more oriented to achieving and more about performance, you know, I think in Europe. Then South America is quite similarly. You know, I'm from Argentina, so there's not much of a difference to any European country. And then in Asia, obviously, there's a bit more spiritual work and there's more like devotion and prayers. And I love that. You know, I got that awakened another side of myself about being a bit more devotee, you know, to something bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really eye-opening.
Where do you think the most exciting things in fitness are happening right now?
Yeah, I think the world is gravitating. It's just saturated with options and things and methods. And every day there's something new going on. You know, there's a new method, something that's going to get you there, something that is, oh, this is the shortcut. This is the, I've got the secret, you know, like I try to keep it simple. I love CrossFit and I keep doing CrossFit. I've been doing it for years and just my yoga, meditation, and then just being outdoors, wherever it is, maybe running by the beach or just going on a hike. So that's my way of doing it. So I'm not really following the trends of what's the last thing. So for me, simplicity is key.
I love to hear that. I relate to it so much. I think one of the things that I get so frustrated with the fitness industry is that it feels so gimmicky. Mm. You know, I don't think that there are shortcuts. I cringe when there's like the word fit hack or things like that. Like that, you know, that stuff where it's just like,
me too.
I think the message needs to be like, you just have to put in the work and it's a commitment.
Do they work? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a journey, but like there are no shortcuts. After the break, Fabian talks about finding yoga, how the practice of it varies around the world, and his dream of becoming the next Vivian Westwood. So you're doing this traveling. You're finding yourself, you're on your journey. At some point, you felt a calling to do something very specific. Can you talk a little bit about what that calling was and how you recognized that feeling?
2016, I was living in London. I just graduated from, you know, my yoga teacher training course. So I had been teaching for, I think, 4 months. So I was a fairly new yoga teacher and I was done. I was like, London is not for me anymore. Like, this is a rat race, like always running. There's always about doing more, having more, and not having time for anything. And it was a very material-oriented city. I loved London. I was there for 7 years and I loved every minute of it. But at some point it was like, okay, I'm done. I'm burnt out. And that's when I decided, like, I'm going to leave everything behind. Just I'm going to take one backpack with me. And I went to India just to do a backpacking trip. And I did it for a year and a half. And that was a breaking point for me in my life. That was when I left perfectionism behind, having everything figured out, like all the planning and like everything has to be super structured. It was like, no, you know, I'm just going to flip it. I'm just going to go the other way around. I'm just going to leave the day and I don't know when I'm going to be tomorrow. I'm going to experience a new thing. I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to just see a new culture. And that was really fulfilling. You know, that was something that really changed me a bit. And after being in India for 6 months, it was like, yeah, I'm fine with anything. Whatever comes to me, like I'm going to appreciate everything and I'm going to be really flexible. And that was great. That was a great teaching for me.
Was London the time when you were doing all the fashion stuff with your brand? And is that what made it feel so toxic? Like what led up to that moment where you needed to get away?
London was really interesting. You know, I moved to London because of love. So I met an Englishman here when I was in Spain. I fell in love and I moved to London. And it's like, yeah, I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to go for it. And I left everything behind. And again, I moved to London just for somebody else. Back then, I was studying fashion. I was really into fashion. And I went to London with the idea of like, I'm going to be a fashion designer. I'm going to be the next Vivian Westwood.
I love it.
And then, yeah, nothing went as planned. Nothing. The relationship didn't work out. Fashion didn't work. Like, it was really hard to be known and just to have a place, you know, in the fashion industry. I started working in a restaurant in Soho, in London. And actually, that was amazing. There were 3 amazing years that where I learned so much about people skills, about discipline, about organization, about myself, because hospitality is very tough and I loved it.
And then how did you find yoga during that time?
First, I found CrossFit. So that was my first encounter with like, I'm not going to say that, but a bit of a tribe or a cult, you know, and that's when I felt like, oh my God, I belong somewhere, you know, like this is great, a community, I see people and I talk to them and it's not like going just to the gym and just putting your headphones on and it's like, they know my name and like, we felt like, okay, I have my community and I fell in love with CrossFit and I was training like every day and then the owner was like, you should become a coach, you know, if you love it so much, you know, and they did support me to get my certification and I started working there and I was teaching, you know, CrossFit at the same time I was working in the restaurant. leaving fashion a bit to the side, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to try because I feel courses as well. Like, was trying to like juggle, you know, with the fashion. And now CrossFit is coming into place, and now I have to do my 40 hours in the restaurant. So I was like, it was a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So I found you, coming back to your question, I found yoga just in the gym. And I cannot really recall the exact class and how it was, but somehow I got hooked and I kept going. When I was there, it was like, oh, you know, I feel better somehow. And I didn't know why, or I didn't have to pinpoint what was.
Mm-hmm.
And then a job landed on my door about managing a yoga studio. And I was like, yeah, fine, I'm going to go for it. Like, I'm in. And then the owners again told me, oh, if you love yoga so much, why don't you do the training? You know, just become a teacher. And it's like, sure, let me try this. Why not? And I did become a teacher. And at some point I was like managing the yoga studio. I was teaching CrossFit. I was a yoga teacher.
Oh my gosh.
Again, trying to manage all the things. And at the end of that period, it was like, I'm done. I'm going. You know, I'm leaving everything. I'm going to India. I don't know what for, but I'm out. So that's pretty much how it happened in a nutshell.
Okay. I mean, you know, there are only so many hours in the day. I think like you were definitely on a one-way road to that moment. What do you like about that combo of yoga and CrossFit?
They complement each other very well. And I think both of them make you feel a sense of belonging to a community, which is very important nowadays. You know, we are social animals and we need to find that community and that like-minded people that are under the same roof, you know, you have the same interest. And that's why, you know, I found yoga and CrossFit, both of them really fulfilling, because I was like feeling, again, coming back to fitting in or just belonging somewhere, because I always grew up with a sense of like being weird and being super different and being, yeah, like a misfit.
When you said that you found CrossFit first and then you found yoga, did you notice your CrossFit performance changing at all once you started doing yoga regularly?
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't very flexible back then. I'm not a natural flexible person, so I kind of have to work through the pain, you know, sessions of yoga just to get a bit of flexibility. And it did help me, you know, definitely in the CrossFit movement, for sure.
Do you have any advice for people who are trying to balance different modalities? Like, let's say you have an exercise plate. How might you help someone choose their entree and then one or two side dishes? Like finding those things that go together that can really complement each other, like you have with yoga and CrossFit.
That's something so personal. I always want to say like, what's my personal plate, you know, but I will never tell to a person, oh, you should do that, you know, like, oh, this should be your plate. You know, it's like you decide what's good for you and what works for you. Like, it's your coffee in the morning, so it's up to you how you drink it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a decaf Americano, so good for you, you found it, you know. Like, I'm having a green tea, so that's my thing. But for me, in my case, you know, I like to have the strength component and the intensity, which is CrossFit. They'd be more like young, strong and competitive and achieving and really sweating. And then more the yin part, which for me is yoga, more introspective, slowing down, just taking the reins of my breath, listening to my body. Because sometimes when you're doing CrossFit, you're not actually listening to anything.
Yeah, I read that you said that yoga brings you closer to yourself without apologies. Is that what you mean by that?
Well, more than yoga, and I would say like it's actually meditation, which is a bit more, it's an advanced form of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Because yoga sometimes is good to concentrate and to focus the mind. But you're still moving, you're still doing things, you're still thinking about, oh, where's my hand, where's my leg, you know, like it's just very physical. And it's great for the mind to like train the mind to just have it focus on one thing. But meditation is like when you really see your self without mask, without filters, you know. And for me, it's been really helpful because it's been a way to really, you know, get over all traumas or get better with my depression, because it was showing me like what needs to work on, was the underlying problem here. So I think meditation actually brings you closer to your true self.
Yeah, I think it highlights the difference between mindfulness and meditation. And I think that there are different ways to be mindful, but that meditation itself is its own specific thing. And we should, you know, give care to that and pay attention to that and really honor that.
Totally.
So I'm going to run a few statistics by you. The global yoga market is valued at tens of billions of dollars. Participation in the U.S. has nearly tripled over the past decade and up more than 150% during the pandemic alone. And then the top three reasons that Americans give for taking yoga are decreasing tension, increasing strength, and boosting mood. So I'm curious if any of these statistics surprise you.
No, actually, it doesn't surprise me. I think, and it's going to keep growing. I think we all need yoga in our lives somehow, just to be centered, to improve as humans. Because there are so many people, there are very few humans. So I think yoga makes you a human.
I love that. That's so true. My gosh. Okay, so we touched on this idea a little bit ago, just sort of about the way different cultures approach fitness differently. But I want to go a little deeper on yoga here, you know, since you've taught around the world, right? How many countries have you taught yoga in?
10, maybe. I don't know. Maybe more. 12, 15. A few.
Yeah, a few. Okay. Do you feel that yoga is drastically different in these different cultures? Do you change the way you teach based on where you're teaching?
No, I think being authentic is something I try all the time. You know, doesn't matter where you are, you don't have to change just to fit in. You know, like just be who you are, doesn't matter where you are. Sometimes you will be liked, sometimes disliked. But I think authenticity is key because people know when you're being real or you're just being the yoga teacher that they need at the time. So, I mean, I have to say with that, in India, it's very different. The yoga that we know in the West is very, very different. I think we have changed yoga just to fit our culture and our needs. But when you go to India, it's like, oh, okay, this is really spiritual practice. And this is a really disciplined and it's a really tough. It's very traditional. It's a philosophy. So I would say that the most different country where I experience yoga is in India, for sure.
Interesting. You know, I think that some people think that yoga maybe has lost its soul. You know, it's a roughly 5,000-year-old discipline. But is it today a big business, elitist, non-inclusive? Like, what do you think? Do you think it still has its roots?
All of it. Yoga is so broad and there are so many schools and yoga teachers and stuff that is really hard to keep up. So yoga can be anything you're ready for or like you're looking for. So if you want the craziest and the weirdest yoga class, you'll find it. If you want something extra traditional and very ancient wisdom, you'll find it, you know, like, so it's so broad that it's really difficult to say like, yeah, this is yoga.
Well, given that, I'd love to hear your approach to teaching yoga. Can you share your style, your guiding principles?
So when I teach, you know, I like to really empower people to be themselves and to, it's really hard to say that. I don't know, let's say all people most of the time end up crying at the end of the class, but not as a cry of like, I'm so sad. It's like, I'm so liberated. People have that aha moment. And sometimes it's just tears of like releasing or of joy or like those things. And for me, that's like great. When I see someone crying, I go like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I go like, oh yes, leave it, you know, get it out. Leave it outside, you know, you don't need that anymore. So people say that my classes are intense when it comes to physical point of view. You know, I like to challenge people because maybe I'm coming from the CrossFit as well scene and it's like just challenging with strength and with crazy transitions. But intensity. But then I add that value, you know, like, where's your heart? How are you feeling today? How about these? And just be yourself and like trying to dig a bit deeper into the soul of my students. And at the same time, killing them with, you know, chaturangas and push-ups. And So kind of mixing the both.
So if somebody were to take your yoga workouts in the NTC app, because you have a number of them in there, what might they expect from that experience?
So when I teach, it's not a, I don't want people to be like, oh, Fabian is so great, or how he moves, or the way he speaks. No, it's about how did that make them feel. So I definitely want people to leave feeling way better than they came in, for sure.
I want to wrap up with ceramics. I know that you are into ceramics. What do you love about doing ceramics?
It's a love and hate relationship, to be honest. Is, I think, one of the, not the bravest, but the hardest thing, or the yeah, that I've done in my life. You know, I've been doing it now for a year and a half. I'm still to this day. Sometimes I want to like just send everything astray. Yeah, it's really difficult. But when you do something beautiful with your own hands from scratch and from dirt, from a mat, you know, and that's amazing. It feels like magic. But it's a very delicate craft that requires so much patience. So much patience. You have no idea. So I'm learning. It's helping me to just become more resilient and patient about letting go of the outcome and just enjoying the process. And if I don't go one day to the studio and I'm not able to do anything like beautiful, like then, okay, today it wasn't a good day. Tomorrow maybe it's better. That's what I'm trying to learn.
Is that another opportunity for you to sit there and be mindful and in the moment because you're focusing on something that doesn't come that easy to you?
Yeah, it's a great way to concentrate and to train the mind again, to be just in one place. You know, it's a form of ritual as well. Like, I think we do need rituals in our lives, something that we do, you know, on a daily basis that we're able to be fully present to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's making the coffee in the morning, you know. For me, it's just doing ceramics or maybe playing with my dog, you know. But I think ritual is great for the mind and soul.
To bring it back to where we started, you are so multifaceted. You know, you've had a fashion line, ceramics now, yoga, CrossFit. You were in the hospitality industry, rescuing dogs, traveling the world. But acknowledging that you're always on this journey, you're always learning about yourself. You're always trying to be healthier and happier. What advice do you have for people who are right along that journey with you? Maybe they're doing all sorts of different things, but they're trying to find themselves.
Just maybe work a bit on detachment. Just detach from as many things as you can. You know, detach from the things you have, detach from expectations, detach from the goals that you have, detach from what people think you are. Just try to detach from all of that and then see what remains, see what's left, and just work on that.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being fun, all the things. We are lucky to have you as part of the Nike family.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Okay, so Fabian didn't become the next Vivian Westwood, but he tried. And I love that he brought up the spectrum of yin to yang. I think a lot of us struggle with striking a balance between our powerful and competitive selves and our quieter and more introspective sides. And then there's detachment. It feels spot on to wrap up this 100th episode of Trained with Fabian's empowering insight. Detach, see what remains, and work on that. And that's exactly what the Trained team is going to do. We're going to stop making new episodes for a bit so we can work on evolving our show in a few ways that we're super excited about. But I promise you one thing won't change, and that's our commitment to share provocative stories and accurate information with you about our shared passion for holistic fitness and wellness. And we'd love it if you were a part of that process. So if you have a suggestion on what you think would make this podcast even better than it already is, don't hesitate to email me and our amazing team behind the scenes at trained@nike.com. Whether you've been listening since episode 1 or started today with episode 100, thank you for being a part of this journey with us. From all of us at Trained, we wish you a happy and healthy new year, and we can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Trained. Just a reminder, always talk with your doctor before starting any training or nutrition program. The information we provide isn't a substitute for any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and the individual opinions expressed here are just that, opinions.